Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I know it sounds nuts, but there is an Afghan princess that lives in Milford. Alia and I have a mutual friend. And so Lisa sends me a text message, Alia, and she's like, you know, Alia is an Afghan princess, right? And it was one of those things where I'm like, what?
Right. Does that seem appropriate for her to say? That can't be real.
Right. But you actually are an Afghan princess. How does this all happen? And you're right here in Milford, Connecticut.
Yeah. My mom is from Connecticut. She's an American woman. And my father is the direct descendant of 9 generations of Afghan kings. He was born and raised in Kabul. He's the nephew of King Amanullah, the grandson of King Habibullah, and the great-grandson of King Abdurrahman. Those are some of the most famous kings in recent history, or the last few hundred years. You know, he was born to a very different Afghanistan than we all know today. He met my mother in the 1960s as a college student here in the United States. For many reasons, he ended up at the University of Connecticut, which is still just kind of funny to me. And he married her in the palace in Kabul in 1974, and they lived a life there for quite a few years, had two of my older sisters. And then eventually, because of the communist coup and a threat against my family and his life, they had to leave. They had to escape. And they resettled here in Connecticut near my mom's family, where I was born. And then I grew up the sort of token Afghan princess in Milford, Connecticut.
That's fascinating.
Isn't
really.
That crazy?
It's so wild how life can take you for different turns.
Yeah. And your dad was a huge activist trying to help all those in Afghanistan.
Yeah. I mean, he was forced out of that country. It is a country he never thought he would leave. He was, you know, he is a child of Afghanistan, and its beating heart lived in my dad. And from the time that I was a child, he's been working on her freedom and the people. He worked with the Reagan administration. He worked to get the Stinger missiles into the hands of the, you know, Northern Alliance to make sure that Afghanistan didn't fall to communism. And then when the Taliban rose, he fought everywhere, which way he could from the U.S. to make sure that the Afghan people were protected and safe. And he has constantly been in touch with generals and presidents over the years. His humanitarian efforts have been recognized worldwide, and he never, ever gave up hope. And so the moment that the tragedy of September 11th happened, he, you know, as soon as the Taliban fell, thanks to all of the international efforts to go in, he went right back to Afghanistan. He got on a plane and said he loved us, but his first love is Afghanistan, and he had to go. And he said he fell to the ground and kissed the ground and dedicated his life to making sure that the people would never feel that sort of strife again. And he was there for the better part of 10 years, working every day to fund schools and to make sure that money coming into the country was going to the right people and into the hands of Afghan. There was so much corruption and foreign interest and siphoning of the money and the efforts coming into the country. And he felt that it was his job to make sure things were being done right and getting into the hands of the people.
Well, I would imagine that over this last week here, this has been extremely painful for you and your family.
Painful. Painful in a way that I never could have felt. I'm sure my father has felt this pain every day of his life. And I am heartbroken that he is no longer here for me to turn and look at him and say, I get it. And I feel it to my core. The least I can do is carry on his work in whatever menial way that is, to be a voice, to be a face, to show people that Afghans are an amazingly good and kind and beautiful people who have been subject to incredible acts of brutality over the centuries. And I will do anything in my small power to make a difference.
So, Alia, you know, like everybody else, you watch this on the news and you watch it unfold, and it seems, besides the fact that it's devastating and you can't believe that something like this is happening in our world in 2021, you feel this need to help. Now, I know that there's things that we can do to help. What do you suggest?
Right now, it is so chaotic, and I will tell you that the biggest chaos is happening among those who are trying to leave Afghanistan. I spoke with my aunt yesterday, who is still in Kabul. She wants people to know that some people are choosing to stay. They are trying to understand the impact of what will come in the future and to maintain some semblance of normal lives. But those who are trying to leave need our help immediately. So my immediate focus is on refugees and on getting people out. So my suggestion right now is to focus on refugees and on established and credible organizations who are working with refugees to get them out. I wouldn't send money blindly into the country at the moment. We just don't know enough. So I am directing people to focus on international organizations such as the International Refugee Assistance Project, or here locally, IRIS, the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Service. And there are a number of others, but do your research and make sure that they are above board and internationally established and working to get people resettled and out of the country immediately.
Alia, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing the information. Thank you for sharing your story. And I mean, anything you need from us, of course, you reach out. We're happy to get the word out.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. The last thing I want to say to the state and local government here in Connecticut is we must welcome refugees. We are proof. Immigrants are an addition to our society. My father owned restaurants and businesses and raised us and me. And I am just so hopeful that our government officials will open their arms in this time of crisis. So please call, write, text, and do our part to make sure these people have a future.